Hello there, folks. So I've been a bit quiet this week because I've had some kind of bizarre accident which left me with burns and a lot of bandages and even more pain. But nevertheless, I'm gonna sort of soldier on and fire up the microphone because an interesting thing happened. I bumped into an old bloke that I used to work with in a warehouse some years ago. And he was like more or less the unofficial gaffer. And he used to walk around with a clipboard and drive a forklift of the goods in this warehouse. And I bumped into him recently, just before my accident, actually. And he said that he'd basically was on the dole now, and that he'd finished up. He's heading towards retirement, and that he finished up working on the till in an Asda or somewhere. And he just couldn't stand it. He just couldn't stand the job. And so he chucked it in and went on the dole. And what I thought was fascinating about this is that this is the exact kind of bloke who would have always held the opinion that any job was better than no job. And that if you didn't go out, if you didn't take any kind of job that was offered to you, you were like a parasite and you were a bum. And you deserve to be ostracised, or at least feel a bit of pressure, feel the bite from a wider social circle. And yet here he is getting on a bit in his last few years of like officially working, and he's done exactly that. He's decided that the work that he was landing in his mid-60s was just too soul destroying, and that he'd rather just go on the dole, which is like the complete opposite of the older mentality, which was that any job was better than no job. And when I look back on it, I do know that he started out on the shipyards at Wall's End. So he started out actually welding like oil tankers together, working with a lot of other men at the famous Swan Hunters, the shipyards on Wall's End. And then after that he's gone into factory and warehouse work, and then he's ended up like in a green uniform working in a supermarket, and he's decided that he just couldn't live with it. It was just absolutely soul destroying is what he said. And so I thought this was interesting because I realized that it's something that I'm seeing more and more in the Northeast, where more and more people are deciding to make fake back injuries or just kind of go on the dole and not do anything. And it's because it's flies straight in the face of the old mentality, which was really in the Northeast, which was to say that any job is better than no job and that beggars can't be choosers, because we've always been kind of poor in the Northeast. And what you're confronted with is that, especially because these service jobs, they aren't actually as physically demanding as the older jobs. So it isn't that all of a sudden these people just became lazy. You're talking about people who've done hard graft all their lives and know what hard graft is. But there's another element at play here, and it's pride. It's that they feel as if they're being humiliated in the new wave of service jobs which has come in the neoliberal economic system. And it seems to me that this hasn't been factored in to the economic model or to the way we work now. The fact that you may just genuinely find it emasculating and humiliating to work in some service sector job where you've got... Because another thing that's happened, of course, is that if you compare it, which is why this case is interesting, if you compare his case to when he was back in the shipyards, he would have worked, it would have only been men, and all of his superiors would have been men as well, who knew more about the job than what he did. And yet now he's expected to take orders from, say, like a 25-year-old woman Or like a young man who's just come out of uni and doesn't have any kind of hard work experience at all. And what's happened is that the sort of the old the ability to socially shame people for not working and going on the dole has evaporated. And that's why then has that evaporated? Why has that gone? And I think it's actually, you can go all the way back to the 1980s and you can go back to, say, Margaret Thatcher, where she's coming out with things, and she, of course, was instrumental in bringing in neoliberal economics in the Northeast. That was where you would get the ability to, if you had a council house, you could buy the council house and then you could sell it and you could move on. And so the point of all of this was that, well, there is no such thing as society. There are just individuals in a market competing against each other in this. And some people will say this isn't really what you meant. Well, that may well be the case, but that this is the reality of what came in. So instead of having a settled community, you would have a doggy dog individualistic society. And so you can see that the atomization is like encoded straight into the DNA of the economic model, because it pits everybody against everybody. And so when you have the older community, the older working class communities, where it wasn't like that and it was more settled, and everybody knew each other, everybody might well have been poor, but at least they were more or less in the same bracket. Well, in that particular scenario, you can actually shame people who are a burden on others, because then you can say, well, why are you sitting at home and you're not pulling your weight, you're not going out and working, and I am. I'm paying for you to sit at home and watch the telly. And what that produced in people was a sense of shame and a sense, well, yeah, I can't go on like that because I feel bad. I feel as if I'm letting the side down. Well, of course, when you've the society that we've got, which has come in, is where when everybody's pitted against everybody else in this dog-eat-dog way, that you don't really have any way to implement that shaming anymore, because the wider community, which was used to enforce it, has itself been dissolved. That's now gone. So if everybody is just this the atomized individualistic, where everybody is trying to compete against everybody else, then you can't really have that anymore. No, because why should anybody care? If society is built around getting what you can and to hell with everybody else, then why should you care if you then sort of game the system and take what you can from it? And another thing that I think is interesting about the soft service jobs which have come in, I mean, you're talking about blokes who've done heavy work all their lives, and then they go and work in a warehouse where you're not even allowed to use like a Stanley blade anymore. Like, these are people who used to work on cranes. They used to build ships. They used to be welders. I mean, and I know from personal experience, I mean, I'm not that old, but I do know that they used to like drink three bottles of brown ale on their lunch breaks and all of this kind of thing. It was like a hyper masculine atmosphere, and they find themselves now where they're not allowed to lift anything above, I think it's like 12 kilos now. They're bringing it down so that women, basically, they'll just be expected to lift the same amount as a woman. If it was 25 kilos, which I think it used to be, it's a bit too much for a woman, and so they reduced it. So the work, and that, like I said about the knives, they're not allowed to use a proper knives. You get these like gear plastic box cutter things where you can't possibly cut yourself. All of the kind of danger, everything about the job has become feminized and soft. And then on top of that, the workforce itself has become like 50% female. And so for a lot of these older fellas, that they just know they don't belong there. And what you'll see is that the sort of the diversity and the political correctness, you know, we think of it as being like a left-wing thing, but it's also the case that it trains the mind of people in employment, in workplaces, to accept all of this soft feminizing and brainwashing thing. And again, you'll see that the old ways are being pushed out. The old ways are the more masculine side of work is being pushed out. And so what the neoliberal economics does, and because this is it, it also doesn't take into account that some men may have a real problem with this. In fact, through the diversity training and the what we would think of as being left-wing ideology, they actually try to find a way around that, because they're telling people that it doesn't matter if you've got a young girl. It doesn't matter if you're a 64-year-old bloke and you've got like this long history of real graft. It doesn't matter that you now have like a 22-year-old girl but like speaking down to you, because this isn't factored in the economic system, because it's a system of pure economic efficiency. So in this way, to be like this bloke, let's just call him Terry Bell, I've just made that up, but let's, in that way, he hasn't got a place here. He is, despite being all his life used to real heavy work, he then finds that to his very being, is inefficient. He's kind of surplus to requirements. And I think this is across the board as well. But it's very difficult to put your finger on. And I think a lot of these older fellas, they have a hard time explaining exactly what it is as well. Because the whole culture is telling them the opposite. The whole culture is saying, you know, if you're like in your 60s and you're a burly old fella and you're down on your knees, like stacking boxes of tampons on a shelf for Tracy, the 22-year-old who's just come out of university, like, this is all fine. This is all a perfectly natural state of affairs. The diversity training tells you that it is. You've got no reason to complain. And so they don't have the verbal or the mental sort of dexterity to argue against it. They just know that there's something fundamentally wrong. And what it comes down to is a kind of inversion of what we used to think of as the social framing, except now it's with themselves. So they can think, well, I can put up with this daily ritual humiliation, or I can just be poor. I can just sort of scrimp and save and live like have a poorer life. Or I can go in and just have my soul destroyed and be humiliated every day. But again, in the economic system, which is just purely runs on efficiency, that isn't taken into consideration at all. That's nowhere to be found. And then just to move on further from that again, I think what you find is that this attitude is endemic right across especially in the workplace, but in the culture in general. And lo and behold, we see that the suicide statistics for men are going through the roof. And so when you go along and you say, well, I'm not very happy, but I cannot exactly put my finger on why it is, but I know that I'm depressed. Well, what the system then says to you is that, well, you are the problem. We can't like have structural criticisms of the system. That's not even up for discussion. The system is fine. We are all just individuals. There's no such thing as society. Society can't be wrong. It's all down to the individual level, even though they're operating within a system. We can't actually sort of pull the curtain to one side and look at the scaffolding. What we have to do instead is put all of the blame back down on the individual. If you don't like being bossed around by the 22-year-old girl who's like young enough to be your daughter or even granddaughter, then that's a you problem. If you can't swallow your pride and get down on your knees and stack with boxes of tampons and use your little plastic knife, which you can't even cut yourself on, like, that's your problem, buddy. And at the same time they're expecting this of men, they're also expecting that the old-fashioned sort of social shaming, which kept people in employment, will also work. But it's the same system which has cut through that fabric. It's the same system which has just smashed that sense of community by pitting everybody against everybody in this like marketplace, which is driven by nothing but efficiency. And so it's no surprise, it seems to me, that so many men feel deeply and profoundly depressed in this culture. And it was just an interesting thing to have a bit crack on with this fella. There's just a bit, because he couldn't really get it out either. He was just saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put myself through that shite every day, because I'd rather just be poor. I'd rather have a bit less money, but I'd still have me pride. I'd still be able to think of myself like as a man. And none of this has been taken into consideration by the government, or especially not by the captains of industry. Quite the opposite. So much of this left-wing dogma, so much of this woke stuff, is to just further compound the problem and keep people in their place so they don't question it. And it's interesting that the left, I mean, some people like Mark Fisher, who I think is quite an interesting for a leftist, they did used to talk about this. They did used to talk about this so much, about neoliberal economics, which is just soul-destroying, commodifying everything and not taking into the human, the essence of what it is to be human, the essence of what it is to be a man, is being entirely left out of all of this. And this is ground which the left completely ceded, and they instead jumped ship, and they became the enforcers of the morality which keeps people in this, which keeps people in this structure, which is soul destroying. And someone like Fisher, who eventually killed himself, he cottoned onto this. And the rest of them, they were sidelined. They were forgot. The, as they call it now, the wokists are doing the bidding on behalf of the system, on behalf of the economic model, to shut everybody up and say, no, you'll pack the boxes and you'll keep your mouth shut. It's your problem if you have an issue with just this daily routine of soul-destroying drudgery. And so just to get back to where I kind of got into this, I see this more and more across the Northeast, where you're left with, is it because it comes down to the individual level, can I live with myself being deeply and profoundly depressed? The assumption was that if you're just poor, to be poor would make you unhappy, and there's certainly some truth to that, of course, because if you don't tick the right diversity boxes, life can be quite brutal on the dole. I was on the dole once myself, and I found it excruciating. They never got off your back, but you know, people figure out how to game it and all of that. But it's like the fact that it's now becoming like the least worst option, and that the reasons for that aren't configured by the system at all, is something that we can pick up on and go with this and say, yeah, it is wrong the way we live like this. It's this pure sort of nihilism in a way, which is just raw efficiency and then ideologies brought in to make sure you kind of go along with it, which is kind of what the woke agenda is. And you see good blokes, hard working men, just cannot stand it anymore. And more it's happening. And for the younger men, of course, it's a more dangerous problem, because they'll never have known anything else. And of course, what you see getting pumped out of the universities, they're already sort of psychologically prepared for the excruciating feminized workplace which awaits them. This is really fertile ground for a dissident politics, because the left have given it up. So that's just some thoughts on that, everybody. And I'll catch you later.